Ludmila, sorry, hold that thought.
Yes, so we're talking about in response to one of our listeners' question about investing in the U.S. and sort of three most critical considerations. I mean, from my experience, one factor to really keep in mind for foreign investors is taxes in the U.S.
Yes.
And that's property tax, which you have to pay on an annual basis.
Mm.
And that's tax on the value of your property. And then also income tax.
And even if you're not a resident. Right.
If you're not a resident, even if you're not a U.S. citizen, you're still generating income. And therefore, you have to pay income tax. And much depends on the rates for either property tax or income tax. Depends on the city, state, and time you buy. For example, we're just talking during the break that in New York, after September 11 in Manhattan, the government gave some massive rebates and sort of exemptions on taxes for to kind of incentivize people to invest and go back and live in Manhattan proper. Those tax incentives are now expiring. That's why timing is also very important.
So do you think that might signify a sort of a sell, people selling if they can't afford the tax implications?
Well, actually, they've again over the last year, especially in downtown Manhattan, they've brought in some more rebates and so. In actually, yeah, and they're quite a long period, 10 years, 12 years. You know.
Is there anything like that in any other countries? Does Britain have any?
Well, the great thing about Britain is from a non-resident perspective.
Well, yeah, for a non-resident.
It's obviously tax-free, which helps.
And the housing tax is really insignificant, right? I mean, the housing tax, you don't really pay annual property tax.
In the UK, sorry.
In the UK.
No, I mean, I suppose there's three taxes from a non-resident's perspective. Which you don't have to. It's capital gains, which as long as you sell and you're overseas, you're exempt from. Income tax, as long as you don't go over that first threshold level of, I think it's £8,100. Again, there's no tax on that.
Mm.
And bearing in mind that most properties, at that sort of, if you're borrowing 70%, you're going to, the income's going to be negligible off that. So that you're nowhere near that level. But the only tax to be concerned about is stamp duty, which is on the purchase, which is unavoidable.
I would say the risks of buying London property, as you can tell from my everything I say on this show for the last 6 months, are immense. And one of the things I'll be very careful of is interest rates. So if anyone does think about buying London property, and I think they really need to think about that very seriously, then they really need to make sure they get something like a 2 or 3 year fixed rate. Because if they don't, they're going to be so susceptible to the pound getting caned. And then you'll see rates go, like Spain, like Greece, like Italy, you'll see rates go up 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7% in the market. They won't be able to stop that. They will have to charge that. So I think that's a risk. I'm not saying it will definitely happen. I'm saying it's a big risk.
Chris, what do you think?
It's a great point, Mike. And years ago over here with Tamwheel, they had a variable rate and they also had a 5, 10 and a 15-year interest rate. Tamwheel never sold any of those. Not one client opted for the 5, 10 or 15 rate. I had one of the banks over here recently and I said to him, the question is often asked when I'm talking to a client about the rate, shall they go standard variable rate, which as I said would be about 4.2 at the moment, or shall do a lot of your clients go for the 3 or the 2 year or the 5 year fixed rate, which are usually, say, 5%, 5.5%.
A bit higher, yes, that's right.
Higher. They've got a hedge. The bank's hedging that it's going to stay low and they'll make money, and the client's hoping it's going to go up and they'll be on the right side of the fence. And the answer that came back to me from the bank manager was saying, Chris, everyone goes to standard variable rate.
I think people are generally short-sighted. Yeah.
Yeah, they are short-sighted. Yeah. And do you want to pay £800 a month or do you want to pay £1,200 a month? Because it might work in 5 years' time. People will go for £800. It's human nature.
And it's still not changed then?
Yeah, no, that conversation took place about 2 months ago.
Really?
So, and as Mike says, you know, these are the cheapest rates we've ever seen. I was doing mortgages at 15% in the UK a long, long time ago.
Right.
4% is amazing. You should fix straight away.
fix. But, and you could fix for 5 years at that rate.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, it depends, because, again, it does work both ways. And this is why you have something, I don't know, like VSM exists, because we advise people. Because if you think about it, I mean, I had a friend ring me up, I don't know, about 4 years, 5 years ago in England, and he said, oh, Mike, I've got this loan, you know, should I have a base rate tracker? And I said, well, I think base rate's going to go to 2%, and I got this wrong because it went to a half, and that was when it was about 5 or 6. I said, I think it's going to go to 2 because we're in a real mess. And of course he then took a base rate tracker rather than a safe fixed rate, and he's done ever so well now. He's paying 1.25%.
Yeah, good advice.
But that's a world when you could see the crisis unfolding in a rate wise rates would have to go down. We're now at another point of the crisis where rates have to go up because you can't go below a half. We can't go below naught, funnily enough. You just can't go below naught. And as the risk gets bigger and you're at naught, so that you can't do anything to stop the risk, as that risk grows, then rates start moving up, like they have in Greece, like they have in Spain, Italy, etc., etc. And that's what you'll see. Now, that's my big fear for someone actually buying in the UK now, or borrowing sterling, is they might well get clobbered with a rate that they just can't control. So if they're going to do it, by all, you know, please look at the fixed rate that you can be offered and see whether it makes sense.
Well, Mike, to that end, there's a question for you from a listener. It says, what does Mike think will happen to sterling and euro versus dollar? This has a massive impact on property returns in the UAE.
Yeah, well, I've long said, haven't I, that I see the euro at one, and I see sterling at 110 to 120 and probably down to, we saw it 105 in 75. I could see it down there again. Why? Because there's nothing holding it up other than an illusion of confidence. There's nothing really holding up the sterling.
As far as mortgages are concerned, what are you seeing that people are taking them out in? What currencies?
I mean, the property is. I do get once a week somebody phoning up and saying I want it in Japanese yen because Japanese yen is 0.5. And in the UK, Mike might remember this, years ago there were such things as multi-currency mortgages.
Yeah.
And
I borrowed in yen
as well, Mike. Let's talk after the show. That was the most miserable 2 months of my life.
Oh, no.
Anybody listening
that's
thinking... Well, I went the other way. Yeah, made a lot of money in about 3 months and then 6 months to lose it all back again. I mean, basically, anyone listening out there, you might be borrowing in that rate, but if over the Easter holidays something awful happens in Japan, say, and the yen strengthens, your mortgage actually will go up the other way. So you had a £100,000 mortgage, and by the end of the weekend, it's worth a £120,000 mortgage. So you might be paying 0.5%, but who cares?
You should generally match the currency. Yeah. In other words, you should borrow in the currency of the property. Occasionally you can look at things and take a conscious speculation, is what we call it, where you actually take a conscious decision, but never take an unconscious one. Always make it conscious. In other words, don't rely on someone telling you that it's cheaper that way.
Yeah.
And anyway, now, yen used to be half when it used to be 1% when sterling was 10. Now everything's zero, so it doesn't make much difference.
Can we just very briefly touch on Greece, Athens, of course, which is the birthplace of the Olympics,
and
they last hosted the Games in 2004. Now, as far as investing in Greece is concerned,
I don't think there's much to say, is there, really?
Plow in.
I find it's really
Is there a much off-plan development going on?
There's huge oversupply of property throughout Greece.
Now, some might say, and we have had some people texting in saying, oh, well, then this is the best time to buy. The properties don't cost anything, you know. But
if you're buying from an investment perspective, you need that property to grow.
And it's extremely unstable. I mean it's not my opinion. I'm just saying this is what some people have been saying. You know, and as I said, I think it's very unstable. Who knows what's going to happen?
You are going to see large population movements, Siobhan. You're going to see people moving out of Portugal. You're going to see them moving out of Spain, Greece, etc., looking for jobs.
They're all coming here.
And then, actual fact, just to touch on that, not so much from the job perspective, but some quite interesting data came out last month about the number of about online property searches for people from these countries, from the Portugal, Spains, and Greeces of this world, and the biggest rise by huge numbers has been into London. So, I mean, we'll have to agree to disagree on the
I don't have a problem with people disagreeing. It's not a problem at all. I'm a risk manager, so my job is to see the risk where other people only see the rewards, and then of course the consumer has the balance, and then they can make a decision.
Sure.
And that's fine.
Sure.
Who's hosting the Olympics next?
Is it
Brazil, isn't it?
Is it Brazil?
Yeah, it's Brazil. Yeah, same as the World Cup.
They're doing both.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you looking at that market now?
We had invested in Brazil about 6-7 years ago.
It was a big boom
and
there.
Yeah, our clients did very well, but we've got out of that.
You've gotten out?
On the whole, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's a client's decision, so some of them have decided to stay in, but we've advised...
And any other countries in South America?
I don't think so.
No.
I think Argentina is in real trouble at the moment. It's in real trouble now. Again, you've got Falklands 2 brewing there, and again, it's another geopolitical problem that you've got brewing that people don't want to see, but it's there.
Yeah.
They are very, again, when a country goes into an economic sort of downturn, it often picks on something political to try and raise the morale of the people.
Yeah.
So Falklands too is very logical because Argentina's in a real mess at the moment.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I enjoyed the conversation. And if our listeners would like to have a look at this report, can they do so?
Absolutely, yeah, it's available on our website.
What is your website?
ipglobal-ltd.com.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Richard Bradstock, Senior Consultant with IP Global, and also Chris Allen, Mortgage Consultant, also with IP Global. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Ludmila Yamalova is with us. She's going to be giving us her legal updates and answering your legal questions. And Mike Small of ESM Consulting is also going to be taking us, around the world, I think, and a little bit of a macroeconomic view and some of the stories that he has for us as well. We'll be back after this.